good Monday morning to you. It is time now for The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute and your hosts, W.K. and Ken Boyce.
Good morning, everyone.
Hey, good morning to everyone that's listening to us this morning. If you'd like to give us a call here at the station, our number is 862-9977 or 1-800-375-0056 or star 56 if you're in your car or on cell phone. This morning we're talking about Ever After. We're talking about this, about relationships and marriage, and this is brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. I'd like for you to give us a call and join us here at the studio with your comments and opinions as we talk about this morning.
If you have questions or comments and you're like, I'm not really sure I want to do this on the air, there's two ways you can also contact us. Give us a call at the office, 882-6767. That's area code 417-882-6767. Also, you can contact us via the web. Go to Springfield MFI for Marriage and Family Institute, springfieldmfi.com. There is an Ask WK link there. Go to the radio page, which you're listening to the radio show this morning, and on both the welcome page of the radio show and the archive page, there is an Ask WK on the right-hand side of the page. So if you have a question or comment for WK, email him, and be more than happy he answers all the emails that come in.
I'd love to hear from you. It's a beautiful day here in the Ozarks. We're blessed to live here in the Ozarks this time of the year. There's so many beautiful colors that are going on, and today's weather is going to be absolutely perfect. The middle of the week is going to be a little different, but today is really good. You know, that's a lot like relationships. We have really good times in our marriages and our relationships and our family relationships, and we have other days that are pretty stormy. And that's really what we're going to talk about today. Times that are really, really good and times that are fairly stormy. And how we know when the good times are good and how the bad times are bad, and really what we need to be looking out for. There's some things that we can really tell if we're headed for some big problems in our marriages and in our families.
The last couple of weeks, you've heard me speak about a marriage and family psychologist that was in the University of Pennsylvania back in 1940 that predicted precisely what we're dealing with today. In 1940, he said the current trend is that most kids won't find happiness. 1 in 6 marriages end in divorce. He said if the current trend continues by 1947, it'd be 1 in 4.
Mm-hmm.
And if the trend still continued, it'd be 1 in 2 in 50 years. He was accurate. How in the world did he know that? We're given signs. There are symptoms. Just like if we know when our car is not running right, we know when we don't feel good. Marriages are the same way. They give us indications that something's not right.
You know, when you hear the rod knocking in the motor, you know that there's a problem there somewhere. If you see blue smoke coming out of your tailpipe, there's a problem going on inside your motor. You may not know exactly what that is, but that's a pretty good symptom.
Mm-hmm. So all we have to do is pay attention. So join us this morning as we discuss some of these things of what to look for. If we're seeing these are warning signs. And sometimes we don't pay attention to them. We just kind of ignore them and let them go to the side. But we need to learn to pay attention. And that's what we're talking about this morning. Again, if you'd like to give us a call, 862-9977, 1-800-375-0056. Again, this is The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you every Monday morning at 10 a.m. from the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. If you'd like to find out more about us, go to springfieldmfi.com. If you like the show and you'd like to hear it again or send it to a friend, later on this week, the show will be archived on the website. Every show we've ever done is there. And every show has been played every month since the day it was produced. So the shows are being used. People are enjoying them. They're sending them to their friends, to their family, and getting some really good information out of them. Those are there for you. If you own a company here in town, or as a private individual, you're like, you know, I really like what they're saying. They are positive about marriage. They're positive about families. They really want to see the strength built back into the very community we live in. If you'd like to become a sponsor of the show, we're getting ready to invite several people to come and join us, being able to produce the show. And if you have questions or comments about how to become a sponsor, you can go to the website, springfieldmfi.com. There's a Become a Sponsor link there. If you would, write me and tell me, hey, Ken, I'd like to get some more information. I'd be more than happy to get some information out to you. If you're a private party, you go, you know, I just want to keep this on the air. I think this is a great thing. I want to help support it any way I can. Right there, there's a way that private individuals can sponsor the show as well. So check it out, springfieldmfi.com.
You know, as Ken was saying just a minute ago, we're very positive on this program. We are very pro-family. We're very pro-marriage. We're pro-grandparents. we're pro-babies. We are really enthusiastic about what we have in our life, and that we can have an abundant life. We can have a life that we've always wanted by living according to principles that are in creation. Now, we are a created being. We are a creation of God as human beings, and we are created with principles upon which to build our life, upon which to grow our life, and to nurture relationships. There's some principles that I want to share with you this morning as we begin talking about how we can know when the good times are really good and when the symptoms are there that we need to be watching out for. First of all, let me say that all human beings, because we're a created being, we're creations of God, are entitled to truth, dignity, respect, and courtesy. All human beings, man or woman, boy or girl, young or old, all human beings are entitled to truth, to be told the truth, to be able to speak the truth. We're entitled to dignity. We have inherent value. Therefore, we are entitled to respect and courtesy. Now, when these principles are in our lives and we are building our lives and relationships upon these principles, then we're going to thrive. We're going to flourish. But also involved with that is that freedom requires you stand up for these principles that your life is built upon. Because by not standing up for yourself, you are encouraging the other person to continue treating you the same way by reinforcing their behavior. If people are not being truthful, or they're not treating you with dignity, or they're not being respectful, or they're not being courteous, and we don't stand up and say, no, you will not treat me this way. I will be treated with truth, dignity, respect, and courtesy. If we don't do that, then we're simply empowering them, enabling them to continue treating us the way that they choose. Okay? When we stand up for ourselves, we will appreciate others who stand up for themselves. Really, what I'm talking about here is assertiveness. Having the right to say what I think and feel, what I need, want, what I expect, what I will accept, what I will not accept. Just the assertiveness, the ability to speak the truth. You know, the way God made us, it's not only enough to know the truth, we've got to tell the truth. And that includes tell the truth about ourselves. And there are many people who live their whole life, and never one time have they told anybody else, another human being, what they truly think, how they truly feel, what they truly want, what they truly need, what they truly expect, and what they will accept and what they will not. And these individuals feel invisible all of their lives. And so we must realize the substance of truth, the substance of our truth, and be willing to assert that to other people. And I know some people say, well, you know, I just don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. I have people tell me that all the time. People who are taught from childhood that you don't hurt people's feelings. Or if somebody's feelings get hurt because of what you said, but you need to apologize to that person. You tell them you're sorry. Just tell them you're sorry. How many times do we tell our children, now tell them you're sorry? And we know good and well the child's not sorry, and we know we're not sorry when we're made to say it. Okay? We need to teach courtesy. We need to teach honesty and thoughtfulness and consideration, but we shouldn't teach our children to lie. And we shouldn't be taught to lie as adults and carry that forward into our adult life. Because we stop saying what we truly think in order to keep from hurting someone's feelings. I often make the differentiation that there's a real difference between hurting somebody, hurting their feelings, and harming somebody. There's a real difference there. Now, when we hurt people's feelings, if we are told the truth about what we think and feel, need, want, expect, if we're striving toward truth and dignity and respect and courtesy, and their feelings are hurt, that's their problem. They'll get over it. They'll get over it. Because it's just unavoidable and undesirable to live our lives without offending someone's feelings. Another thought is, you know, we go through situations in our relationships, we go through circumstances, we have those situations that we just bite our tongue and we just don't say anything. And we begin to seethe and to boil. And it's like a pressure cooker. This stuff just builds up inside. You know, by not appropriately expressing ourselves in that moment, we allow those things to build up. But when we appropriately express ourselves, we will not allow those thoughts and feelings to build up inside, which could result in an inappropriate, even harmful response later. We say what we need to say at the time we need to say it. One other thought is that being polite out of fear of being offensive and hiding our discontent with the situation or the behavior of someone else, it's really a sure way of either destroying a relationship or preventing one from really forming. We have to tell the truth. And if we're simply being polite because we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings or offending their sensibilities, then they really can't know who we are. One definition of intimacy is being ourselves in the presence of each other, or being ourselves while in the presence of each other. It goes back, Ken, to what we've said on the air before, that if I am being me and you're being you, then I am here and you are here and we could be here together. But if I am being who I think you want me to be, or you're being who you think I want you to be, then I am not here, you're not here, so no one can be here together. Okay? We have to tell the truth. We have to be authentic. We have to be genuine. We have to level with each other. And you know, not letting others know what we think and feel is really a form of selfishness. And when we do not tell others what we think, we deny them the opportunity to change. And so when we stand for these principles, when we assert ourselves, when we live according to these principles of truth, dignity, respect, and courtesy, then we allow other people to truly know who we are, and we live freely. We live assertively. We live with greater intimacy. And we develop many more relationships in our lives. And we feel so empowered that we're very present in the here and now, in the moment. And so this is the abundant life. This is the life that we've always wanted. This is how we can live with other people. And it doesn't mean that we get along with everybody. It doesn't mean that we believe in a pie-in-the-sky life. That's not what it's talking about. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about real life with power and freedom to be who God has created us to be in every way. And when we take this assertiveness into relationships, into our marriages, and into our families, we can have an intimacy that's absolutely wonderful. And we can have a closeness and a unity that is stronger than we have maybe have ever experienced in our life. And what happens when we develop problems in our marriages and in our families, or when we don't live according to these principles, when we do not speak truthfully, or we do not respect the dignity, or even respect the person, or show them courtesy, or be courteous with them, then problems begin to develop in our families and in our marriages.
If you'd like to join us here in studio, the phone number is 862-9977, 1-800-375-0056. For those outside the area or maybe listening online. You know, there are a lot of warning signs when marriages aren't necessarily working right. And at the very beginning, they don't seem to be really all that important. They're more of a nuisance. You kind of, okay, fine. But you get over it. Then it happens again.
You've all been there and done that.
But we don't seem to really pay attention when the small things are happening. It isn't until there's a major blow-up that we start to pay attention. Why in the world do we wait until we're arguing with each other, yelling at each other, throwing things across the room at each other, storming out the door, before we go, oh, you know, there's something not quite right.
There could be a problem here. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we have a lot of stresses in our life, in our marriages. We have the stress of caring for a new baby. Just exhaustion from working too hard. The loss of interest in sex and romance, that's a real problem in a lot of marriages. Health problems also come up in marriages. Recovering from an extramarital affair, that is in many marriages, and that's what they're struggling with. Struggles with depression, arguments over housework and the finances, about the money, who's spending the money and where's it going?
Do we have enough money?
That's another consideration. Yeah. What if we don't have enough money, and who determines what bills are being paid? Or changes that come with retirement. That's at the other end of life. I mean, the changes, there are a lot of changes with retirement.
That's all like the empty nest syndrome. All of a sudden, we got a whole lot of time together. Who are you?
Twice as much spouse and half as much money. That type of thing? Yeah. Or we retire and we move away from everything we've ever known and all the people we've ever known. We move to a retirement village and we don't know anybody. That's a big challenge. That's a big change. The loss of a job or an identity or a lifelong dream also are things that are common to marriages. And so things come up. As we've said before, there are no perfect marriages. Every marriage, every family, in fact, those that are healthy and effective, all families, all marriages have problems.
And we had a caller. Did he hang up there?
We lost him. Yes, okay. Maybe he will call back.
All righty. Larry, if you're out there, give us a call back.
Okay. All of our marriages have issues. And it's not a matter of if we're going to have issues. What really matters is how do we respond to those issues? How do we respond to those problems? You know, there's a family therapist named John Gottman who wrote a book back in the 90s about the 7 principles that make a marriage work. And there's a chapter in that book called The 4 Horsemen of the Apocalypse. I like that title. That's a pretty cool title for a chapter. And what he's drawing from, what John Gottman is drawing from, for many who know, is from Revelation chapter 6, where the biblical 4 horsemen of the apocalypse appear at the end times to show that the end times are underway. You know, that they have pestilence, war, famine, and death. Those 4 horsemen. Well, John Gottman said there are 4 characteristics that if you can identify these 4 characteristics, you see these characteristics in your marriage, then there's an 80% accuracy that your marriage is headed for divorce. That's just an awesome statistic. And he has shown this, he has proved this with his research, with his studies, and the studies and research of other people, that if these are in your relationship, if these 4 characteristics are in your marriage, then your marriage is headed for some severe problems. And at first, it may not sound like these are severe issues, that these issues, these symptoms, are really all that serious. But by the time we are involved in these symptoms, these characteristics, our relationships are being damaged, sometimes beyond repair.
Yeah, these are sequential. They compile.
They build one on the other.
Now, in the book of Revelation, talking about pestilence, war, famine, and death, Gottman has his 4 horsemen, which are criticism, contempt, defensiveness, and stonewalling.
Those are the 4 horsemen, yeah.
Simple enough.
He refers to that he saw in couples that he worked with throughout the decade of the 90s that these couples that were involved in these behaviors, 80% of these couples led on to a divorce. And he found some other things equally exciting as well in his research, and that is that couples who have these 4 characteristics generally have 1 positive thing said in their marriage for every 1 negative thing. Whereas effective relationships, effective marriages, have 5 positive things for every negative thing said in the marriage on that ratio. Which I thought was very fascinating.
Well, you said it before, though, the ratio has to be there because, in general, just to be told something negative, it takes 7 things positive to dump that feeling. We hold those. We carry those types of feelings. Mm-hmm. So it takes a lot of positive just to outdo a negative.
It does, yeah. It's just amazing. Just think about it in our own lives and with our own kids. And when we were growing up as children, how often were we criticized and how often were we praised? I'm not saying, yeah, you were a good boy, you were a good girl, but things that we were doing that people specifically said, this type of behavior is good. The way that you're showing these principles in your life, this is good. Or were you always a mistake? Were you always a foul-up? Were you always a mess-up? Were you always doing things wrong? Were you always a failure? Were you receiving all these messages all the time? Okay? How we hear about ourselves from other people impacts us tremendously. In fact, there can be deep wounds in our heart from words that somebody that's very important to us has said to us. And this goes back to the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse.
Now, this is not just in a marriage. This is in any part of our life.
In any relationship.
In the relationship. It could be from mother, daughter, father, son. It could be from grandparent to grandchild, aunts and uncles. if you have a relationship, a close relationship, and you value that relationship, the pain that's inflicted is even more severe. So the greater the intimacy in the relationship, the more pain there is when these things happen. So these things are not just warning signs in a marriage, in a lot of different aspects in life, but we see the effects come down from different relationships into our marriage. And we can be wounded as a child and have the same wound fester up in our adult life.
Very often is the case.
So we're getting down here to the bottom half of the hour. So if you're out there, you have a friend, give them a call on the phone, tell them to turn on the radio, AM 560. As we join the second half, we're going to get into the four horsemen of the apocalypse. As far as our marriage relationships, what is it that we can see coming in, and how do we avoid it? How do we live a more positive life? How do we steer away from this? Because unlike the book of Revelation, where the apocalypse is coming, this can be avoided. But we need to recognize the signs and know how in the world to battle them. So join us as we get ready to hit the break. Again, this is The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, professional counseling for individuals, couples, and families all across the Southwest Missouri, Arkansas, and Oklahoma. If you'd like to find out more about us, go to springfieldmfi.com. That's springfieldmfi for Marriage and Family Institute.com. And check us out there. We'll be back.
Hi, this is WK Boyce. Join me each Monday morning at 10 a.m. where we discuss the issues of life, love, family, marriage, even politics. It's the life you've always wanted. Brought to you by Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Professional counseling founded on Christian principles for real-life solutions. Check us out at springfieldmfi.com or call us at 882-6767 to speak to someone today. It's your life, your choice. Make it a great one.
And you're listening to The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. And your hosts are WK and Ken Boyce. We're back with the second half of the show.
And good morning again. Yes, as we said at the very beginning of the program this morning, is that all human beings are entitled to truth, dignity, respect, and courtesy. And that we have a responsibility to speak for ourselves, to tell others what we think, feel, need, want, expect, what we will accept, what we will not accept, to be assertive about ourselves, and to expect others to treat us with truth, dignity, respect, and courtesy. And it's our responsibility to speak up, to be in that interaction with our spouse or our friends, our kids, whoever it may be. Okay? These are principles that we must build our lives upon, and that we can't be afraid of offending people's feelings, of hurting people's feelings, because to do so keeps us from being assertive, from sharing who we are with that person. We don't need to be obnoxious about this, and that's not the point of asserting ourselves, but it is being truthful about ourselves. How do we share ourselves with other people and truly develop an opportunity to be known as effectively as we need to and as they need to be?
Well, again, do we hold the relationship important? Is the relationship the number one thing?
Yes.
You know, when two people get married, it isn't just what serves me now, it's what serves the relationship. Is what I'm saying helping the relationship? We can be direct, we can be confrontational, but we can do it in a manner that actually strengthens the marriage, not destroy the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of what we're talking about this morning. We're getting into the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the 4 points John Gottman said were clues and indications that a marriage was heading for divorce. It happens.
Mm-hmm.
So before we get into that, that brings me to the quotes of the day.
What's that?
I love these. The bride upon her engagement went to her mother and said, "I found a man just like father." Mother replied, "So what do you want from me, sympathy?" Oh.
There's a lot of women out there saying, yes.
Of course, there was a man who said, "I never really knew what happiness was until I got married, and then it was too late."
And a lot of men said yes. A lot of men saying, amen. That's right. But it doesn't have to be that way. And that's what we're saying.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't have to be this way. To have a marriage, to have a marriage that you just are thrilled with, is possible for anybody. We often have people ask us, you know, two things. First of all, number one is, what guarantee can you give me that I'll be happy in marriage? Well, there are no guarantees of being happy in marriage. Just like there's no guarantees for being happy in life in general. But our life isn't an accident. It's not a job to be worked on. Our life is a blessing. It's a gift that needs to be lived to the fullest. And the same thing is true in marriage. A marriage is a gift. A marriage in a relationship with someone, a marriage relationship is a gift that we need to cherish and to nurture and to relish and to celebrate. That's what we have to do. There are some behaviors, though, that people engage in that are guaranteed to destroy that. Those four horsemen of the apocalypse that we talked about, that Ken described in the first part of the program.
And a couple of examples sitting right here in the quotes of the day.
Yes, absolutely. You know, the first horseman that comes riding into a marriage relationship or a relationship in general. But the first horseman that comes riding in is criticism. Criticism involves attacking our spouse's personality or their character. Rather than focusing on specific behavior that bothers us, you know, it's really healthy to air disagreements. To disagree, to have conflict, isn't a problem. It's how we handle it. It can clear the air. It's like a big thunderstorm comes in, then everything's fresh afterwards. Okay? But criticism, that's an attack on their personality. It attacks and offends their sense of value that they have to us. Now, this is the difference between saying, I'm upset that you didn't take out the trash, and saying, I can't believe you didn't take out the trash. You're just so irresponsible. Wow. You know, one is a behavior, the other is the personality. And criticisms normally begin with, you never, or you always. That's how we know we have a criticism. And in general, women are more likely to pull this horseman into conflict. Okay, that's the first horseman of the four. The second horseman is contempt. Contempt is one step up from criticism. It involves tearing down or being insulting toward our spouse or toward our partner. Contempt is an open sign of disrespect. Now, what are some examples of contempt?
After a quarrel, a husband said to a wife, "You know, I was a fool when I married you." She replied, "Yes, dear, but I was in love and didn't notice."
Contempt. Contempt. You know, those behaviors, you know, that we see in marriages? Putting our spouse down, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Rolling our eyes while they're talking. Sneering. Are just tearing down the other person with humor, what is called humor. You know, you feel your heart being torn out, and when you say something about it, your spouse says, "I just having fun with you." That was meant to be humorous. And it wasn't humorous. Not when it tears your heart out. Not when you feel disrespected. And you feel invalidated. You feel unworthy. That your worth has been stolen from you. Taken from you by someone that you love.
Contempt attacks the three greatest needs: to be understood for who we are, accepted unconditionally, and valued more than the whole world.
That's exactly right. And those three needs have to be met. That those are ongoing needs. And we have to be understood for who we are. We have to be accepted unconditionally. We have to be valued more than the whole world by the most significant people in our life. And when those needs are not met, we feel disconnected from. We feel a sense of being isolated from and devalued. And that's what contempt does. Contempt by our spouse is hurtful. Contempt from our spouse drives deep, deep into our heart. And it's not easy. It's not easy to withstand contempt. When we're trying to truly share ourselves with someone else.
Of course, from criticism to contempt leads to defensiveness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do. We try to deflect the blame onto the other person.
We don't like accountability.
No.
As human beings, we don't like accountability, being held accountable for what we say or what we do, even for how we have said or what we have done.
And the thing is, the defensiveness is on both sides, from the one that's attacking and the one that's receiving the attack. You end up all of a sudden taking up a position. All right, let's get down to fighting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the battle line's drawn. With defensive measures, many couples cannot resolve conflict because they immediately go into a defensive posture. And when couples are being defensive, they listen an estimated 16 seconds, that research shows, before they begin attacking back because they feel under attack. Now, whether it's a human being or whether it's a nation or whether it's nations against one another, anytime we perceive to be attacked, we attack back. It becomes a matter of survival, and that's how it feels. In marriages, it feels like it's a matter of survival. Okay, but denying responsibility, making excuses, or meeting one complaint with another, those are all defensive measures. And so we must not be doing that.
But there's another sign here that's also happening that's insidious and we don't see. And that is the defense is on the individual. We stop defending the marriage. We've now taken our eye off what should be the most important.
Mm-hmm. And many times I tell couples in counseling sessions that regardless of who wins this argument, regardless of who wins in this conflict, the marriage must win in every argument. The marriage must be the winner in every conflict. Because sometimes you will win, sometimes the other will win, but every time the marriage must win. And when this defensiveness is going on, the marriage has been forgotten. Okay, the marital relationship, that third party in the room, is being ignored because it becomes a matter of survival to the individual. And the strength of the marriage is always directly proportional to the strengths of the individuals that are in the marriage and the freedom we have to share that with each other. And so we need to be very watchful that we don't ride this horse of defensiveness into the conflict that we have in marriages.
So we've gone from criticism to contempt, contempt to being defensive, to now just stonewalling. This is where it really starts to be over. These are the first signs that we're going our separate ways. Come back here. I want to talk to you. Walk out the door.
And not a word said. No reply.
Turn your back and go, what was that? Nothing. Sound familiar? These things, doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this one out. We just have to be observant here and mm-hmm. go, you know, this just isn't right. And we already know that if we're sitting there mumbling down the hallway or yelling back and forth.
Mm-hmm. And we need to be aware, we need to be sensitive to the fact that when we do that, when we begin to stonewall our spouse, that not only are we walking away down the hallway from our spouse, we're walking away from the marriage. We're walking away from that mate. We're walking away from the person that we have vowed to love for the rest of our life. Okay, but stonewalling is no response. This is like talking to a brick wall or talking to a stone wall. That's the name. I mean, that's the term.
You go from defense to being a fortress of one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's extremely destructive to marriage. Because when you stonewall on a regular basis, you're pulling yourself out of the marriage rather than working yourself into the marriage and resolving the problems. It doesn't take a lot of courage to leave. It takes courage to stand in the presence of the conflict, to remain present emotionally, mentally, physically, in every way, and work through and resolve the issues.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but when people begin to stonewall their spouse, what happens is many times this has gone on for so long that they don't see any way out. They don't see any resolution on the horizon. They don't have any understanding of how this could be helped. And so they do the only thing they know to do is that they leave. First mentally, then they leave vocally, emotionally, and then they leave physically. I find this many times with couples, and this is what men do predominantly. Men will stonewall. Men predominantly will stonewall. And the wives are saying, we've got a problem. Let's go get some help. We've got a problem.
No, it's just you. I mean,
you're the problem. That's what they're told. The wives are told. You're the problem. You go get help. If you want help, you're the problem. Well, he leaves mentally. He leaves emotionally. He leaves sexually. He leaves physically. until about 18 months into the issues, she says, okay, I'm through with this. And then he says, the one who's been stonewalling says, we've got a problem. Yeah. But you've had a problem for almost 2 years. And you really, when you became a fortress and you wouldn't communicate, you wouldn't give back, you wouldn't respond, then what else is she to do? It doesn't have to be this way. Simply because you don't know the answer doesn't mean there's not one. But when these four horsemen come riding into your marriage relationship, criticism, contempt, defensiveness, and stonewalling, when these come riding in, and they're predominantly in the marriage, in every interaction of conflict, or even when there's not really conflict going on, but these are the actions, this is the attitude, these are the behaviors, then the marriage is in real difficulty and problem.
And Gottman actually says this, all couples engage in these types of behaviors at some point in their marriage, but when the four horsemen take permanent residence, the relationship has a high likelihood of failing. In fact, Gottman's research reveals that the chronic presence of these four factors can be used to predict with over 80% accuracy that couples will end in divorce.
Yeah.
You know, last week, if you go to the radio program, you'll see the question, is your marriage toxic or nutrient? In the opening line in an email I sent out, I was talking about how do counselors know what they know? How can they predict the future by studying all these things? It's because history repeats itself. These are signs. These are things. This is knowledge you have. If you want to save your marriage, if you want to walk down the aisle and say, I do, and it be forever, then these are things we have to watch out for.
That's right.
And when we see them creep up, gentlemen, we have to defend our castle. We have to defend our family. We have to stand up and go, okay, there's a problem here. We're going to get to the bottom of this.
And you know, the men always set the tone in the marriage.
We have to have the courage. We cannot be a coward in the marriage. We have to be able to face issues as they come, as they threaten our family, our marriage. We have to be the knight. Trust me, that's what she wants. She wants a knight in shining armor. Even if it's dented and dinged and bruised, means the knight's been fighting for the family.
Even if she's extremely upset and not giving you any positive feedback right now, you need to take the step and say, we need to find a way to get through this, to get out of this, and to move forward.
Well, here's some suggestions. When it comes to figuring out what's going on or talking, learn how to mirror your partner's complaints. In some ways, you can just ask, is this what I'm hearing? Because here's what I hear you say. Is that how you really feel? Maybe not.
Simply reflective listening.
Reflective listening. Scan for whatever is valid in the complaint and try to address that. Speak respectfully, even when angry. You know, a sure sign that you're losing an argument is when you start attacking the person personally. Your argument probably doesn't have much weight. But if you can back up your argument with more facts, with more weight, maintain a respectful attitude, then your argument has merit. Practice holding yourself and your partner in warm regard, even when feeling distant or during a fight. Still give them value. Learn the skills of repairing damage in a relationship. How do you do that? You call Springfield MFI. You don't give up. Cowards give up. Cowards walk down to the courthouse and file with the attorney and say, we're divorced. Without ever trying, without really knowing how to do this. That's like getting behind the wheel of a car. First time you jump behind the car, you got a 5-speed, you start grinding through the gears, and you trash the transmission. All because you didn't know how to drive a 5-speed. But we're too proud to find out how to drive it. Well, no. Get some knowledge. And that's part of what we're talking about here. Everything we're talking about is the life you've always wanted. And it takes effort. It takes knowledge. It takes being able to take the necessary steps to make the life you always wanted. Again, this is brought to you every Monday morning by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. If you want, find out about us at springfieldmfi.com. Listen to the radio archives there. If you have a question for WK, ask WK. Also, this Thursday evening at 7 o'clock, join us at Churchill's for Coffee with WK. We're continuing the Creation Matrix. It's your life.
It's your choice. Make it a great one.